We're coming up on the 4th of July, where we celebrate freedom. And so I thought I'd talk about Christian freedom, since that's what Galatians is about. A couple years ago, one of our seniors and I were teaching the teenagers. I don't know, maybe you two remember, but anyway, we were teaching the seniors, and we had this chart, and it had different ages on it. And so the question on the chart was, how free are you at 2? Who makes which decisions in your life? How free are you at 14 or 13? How free are you at 18 or 19? How free are you at, 50? How about 70? And so between the teenagers and myself and the senior who was co-leading with me, we decided, all of us, that 70 is the most free age. Because your parents aren't deciding, your boss is not deciding, your children are not yet deciding, and so you decide for yourself at 70. When my son was 18, if you asked him what he was most looking forward to about leaving home, my daughter left at 17, but anyway, if you asked what he was most looking forward to about leaving home and going to college, what he would have said is football and learning and girls, but mainly freedom. And what he would mean by freedom is the ability to do what you want, whatever you want, whatever you want. Yeah, whatever you want. And I think he's pretty representative there as a teenager. But Paul writes, for freedom, Christ has set us free. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Is that what Paul means? The ability to do whatever you want? So, as my kids were developing, we were trying to train them how to be mature, and about their junior or senior year, we decided, all right, they're deciding. They get to decide how late they stay up, what they eat, whatever. They choose for themselves. But that year or two of transition, they chose for themselves, but I was there to talk about what happened. And so, it was really good. No curfew. But if you're too tired, I'm not calling you in. How'd the exam go, by the way? How was the workout after school? And his senior year, that night, every night before a game, he'd go to bed at 9 o'clock, or sometimes even 8 o'clock. And then after the game, way out, midnight. So, all right, he was learning how to practice freedom. Sure, you can borrow my car, but don't bring it home smelling like a locker room. You know how it is when you live with people. Our freedoms and our choices affect the people in our household, and they affect the freedom of our community. Now, Paul writes, through love, let us become slaves to one another. I certainly would not give that advice to a teenager, particularly a black teenager. But in my house, we translate by saying, be kind, be considerate. Love the other person as you love yourself. Now, thank God, this isn't the case with my teenager, but with some teenager. Actually, he's a young adult now, but some teenager somewhere might say, well, whatever I want, eating. Whatever I want, pizza and ice cream and burgers and french fries and steaks and never a vegetable. Once he said to me, is a potato a vegetable? And I'm like, kinda. Eating whatever I want and drinking whatever I want. What if whatever I want includes sleeping with whoever I want? I'm not really making this up. It's straight out of St. Paul, right? The list that we heard, the works of the flesh are obvious. The works of the flesh are obvious. Fornication, impurity, licentiousness, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. Do not gratify the desires of the flesh, Paul writes, because even if, do not gratify the desires of the flesh, even if they are what you want sometimes. Now, I think it's a good thing to want friends, and it's a good thing to want to spend time with your friends. It's a good thing to have fun with them. It's a good thing to have a partner that loves you. God made us for relationships. And surely the desire itself is not what's wrong. It's just too much or too little, or sometimes the desire with the wrong person. Do not gratify the desires of the flesh, because they're opposed to the desires of the spirit. The desires of the flesh will prevent you from doing what you want, Paul said. The desires of the flesh will prevent you from doing what you want. And so, which does make sense, because if you drink whatever you want, even if you aren't underage, then sooner or later you'll lose your freedom to addiction. Do not gratify the desires of the flesh, because what the flesh desires is opposed to the spirit, and what the spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. Now, somebody might say, well, that is as clear as mud. Thank you, Paul. And someone else might say, well, it is clear. The desires of the flesh are physical, and the desires of the spirit are spiritual. That's certainly how the English sounds. However, the works of the flesh, fornication, impurity, licentiousness, those are pretty physical. Idolatry, sorcery, those are spiritual. Enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, those are all relational. You could have enmity, anger, quarrels in a family. You could have them at school or home, in your household, at church, our church. And Paul is warning us those things are not for people who follow Jesus. It might be a challenge, it might be a serious challenge, but we can hold each other accountable for those kinds of things. We can practice and teach different kinds of lessons. Someone is really angry, or you're angry, or I'm angry. We can practice self-control, kindness. We can respect one another by talking to people directly and not about them. Because our disordered desires enslave us, Paul teaches. That's what the flesh is desire gone wrong. Wanting the wrong things, or wanting the right things in the wrong way. And when we submit to that, we lose our freedom. And the desires of the flesh destroy our households, they destroy our families and our communities. Instead of them, Paul said, let's desire what the Spirit desires. That's the Spirit of Jesus. Let's desire what the Spirit desires. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. For such there is no law. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. For such there is no law. So, can you be kind alone? Not really. Or generous? Don't you need to be generous? Don't you need another person or a group to be generous? The fruit of the Spirit, these desires of the Spirit are relational also. They're both relational and spiritual and even physical. Self-control is relational, spiritual, and physical. And the fruit of the Spirit are things we can notice and praise in other people. It's not all about confronting the desires of the flesh. It's also noticing and praising in our households and in our community the fruit of the Spirit. That was very kind. I appreciated when you did such and so. You're always so patient. How do you manage it? Thank you for your generosity. These are desires we can encourage and cultivate in our households, in our work, in our school. Even at work, you did your task so faithfully. We can be those types of people. They're the kind of characteristics we can teach children. We can model for teenagers, not anger, but love and patience and self-control. Not quarrels, but gentleness, forgiveness, and kindness. Not factions, but forgiveness. Jesus described a process of reconciliation in Matthew. If someone sins against you, they do something that harms you, simply go to them and confront them, gently. And if they refuse to listen to you, Jesus was kind of savvy about that sort of thing, then take somebody along and the two of you go talk to them. And if they refuse to listen to the two of you, tell it to the church. In other words, get everybody's help. Get everybody's help to practice faithful Christian living. Christian freedom is to do what you truly want, but it's also to want the right things. It's sort of like this. So imagine a middle-aged bachelor, and every weekend he wants to go on a date, which is a good thing to have a relationship. So first, in order to go on his date, he's got to find the right person. So these days, you'd go online. But, you know, it could be that he might ask his friends or look around in any groups that he participates in, and maybe go online into a dating website and do all that swiping business. Keep finding the right person that he wants to date this weekend. And then he's got to decide, well, where are we going to go? And maybe talk to her. And what am I going to wear? I'm sure men think about what they're going to wear. I know women do. And what am I going to talk about so it won't get dull? And how far will I go? And then what will we do after the date? And do I want another date? Or do I start over finding a right person to date? Every week, he does this. And then imagine a husband, a father. Life might not be perfect, but the father knows that his kids love and respect him. His spouse loves him and is faithful. And he shares pressure, shares the financial pressure, shares pressures at work and other pressures of his life with a beloved partner. Which of these is more free? The bachelor looking for a new date every week, or the one who's married? What way forward has more freedom? Or a child? Imagine a child with boundaries. It's some choices, but the homework has to get done before it's time for television or games. You have to, when you come to dinner, you have to taste everything on your plate before you can get excused. And you, before you get up from the table, you do need to say thank you to the cook. Maybe take your plate to the kitchen. Or another child who runs free. When they get home from school, go play outside, honey. Come home when you're hungry. In the future, which child will be more free? Free to choose any college because they've done their homework. Free to love and serve another person in a loving partnership. Free to enjoy work with a boss who tells you what to do. The child with boundaries, or the child who ran wild without them. We need boundaries to be free. We need speed limits in order to be free to drive safely. We need laws to be free. Who is more free? The one shaped by relationship and commitment, or the one who appears totally available? Freedom isn't separated from our relationships. It's expressed in our relationships. And we Christians know that the desires of the flesh are not really freedom. Saying whatever we want and living in anger will lead to quarreling and factions and a loss of freedom. The desires of the flesh end up in slavery and a loss of freedom. As a matter of fact, our prayer, Episcopal prayer for those who have addictions, asks God, look up with compassion on all those who through addiction have lost their health and freedom. So who is more free? a family where people say whatever we want, or one willing to practice forgiveness. You may be right. I don't know. Tell me what you feel. Tell me what you need. Who is more free? The one who's loved, who's free to take vows, ordination vows, confirmation vows, marriage vows, the one who makes commitments and forgives, the child who's loved enough to have been given boundaries, the husband. Finally, Paul says, stand firm then, and do not submit to a yoke of slavery. Jesus has set us free from slavery to our desires. And so, we Christians do live for freedom. Freedom to do whatever we want, but more beautifully, freedom to have what we truly want, to be more and more shaped by love. Freedom to have our desires shaped by goodness, firm kindness, and self-control. You know, the blessing that I often use at the end of the service, this life is short, we don't have too much time. It was actually written by a Huguenot pastor. And Huguenots, if you don't know, were in an era of Christian history where the church had gotten so awry that they were killing each other. Like the Crusades, it's not the first or the last time, like the Crusades. There are other times in church history where Christians killed each other. But the Huguenots were one of those periods, and they were a persecuted group. And the blessing actually says, this dark life is short and full of tears. So be swift to be kind and make haste to love. And may the blessing of God be always on you.